All right, once again, as we stated earlier, we are happy to be hearing a recorded message from Brother Jason Hood this morning. The title of the message is You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. And Brother Jacob Rosemary just explained to me that we're going to hear at the beginning. We are very pleased to hear Sister Carmen Hood, who will be sharing a testimony and a song before the message begins. It will be part one. It's almost an hour long, but it'll be about 25 minutes this morning, and we'll go into the second half next Saturday. And we want to also thank Brother Jacob Rosemary for being so diligent in helping us to put these messages together on our conference call. Brother Jacob, go right ahead and start in on the message.
Amen. Lift your hands and worship the Lord here just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. Before my wife sings here tonight, let me first of all say thank you so very much for your sacrificial giving. I was totally not expecting that tonight. And cannot express my appreciation to this church, Brother and Sister Clark and the Clark family, Jeff and Christy. My. I'm not usually an emotional person, so forgive me tonight. I apologize. But I cannot express the love that I feel for this church and this pastor and his family. Just pulling up in the parking lot on Tuesday, me and my wife over and over again since we've been in California have just stopped what we're doing and looked at each other and said, we're back. We're here. And God brought us back. And I was telling somebody today, when David was fleeing Jerusalem because his son Absalom was in insurrection wanting to kill him, David fled barefoot into the wilderness trying to escape with his life, and he stopped before he got out of sight of Jerusalem. He said, if the Lord delight in me, he's going to bring me back. And it's kind of how I've felt for some time. Many things have happened, as Brother Clark stated. Many things have happened to bring heartache and pain. I certainly don't seek anybody's sympathy. Everybody goes through the storm. Everybody has tests and trials. None of us are exempt. And some people, they just want someone to feel sorry for them. I don't believe that's the will of God. Amen. I want everyone to know what's going on and how they feel. And really, the main one that needs to know is Jesus, because he's already experienced pain. He's already experienced suffering. So if nobody else knows, he knows, and that's enough. But this church is always in our thoughts, always in our prayers, and on our minds. And we're so thankful to be here. Calvary Apostolic Church has been a very fertile place in my ministry. And by that I mean some of the message that I've preached many, many different places. God laid on my heart while I was here at this church, and some things that I've preached here that I've never preached again, but felt such an anointing, felt such a touch and a confirmation of God in being here, and I'm so thankful for that. Wish it could be like this everywhere, but it's not. And some places you preach, you wonder if you're even called to preach. When it's all said and done, say, man, I need to go do something else. But I've never felt like that here in this church, and that's, I'm sure, a credit to your good pastor and the teaching he has given this church, your love for truth, your love for the Word of God, and equally mixed in just enough of flattery, not to cause you to be lost, but just enough to make a man feel good and say, man, that was good preaching. And sometimes I want to say, quit lying. Amen. But Brother Clark has been an elder to me, and even more than that, he's been my friend. And I don't say that to demote him. He's much older than I am, but he has been my friend. And I've called him when I was happy and excited. I've called him when I was sad. I've called him when I was frustrated. And he's always been there for me and always helped me and given me advice. I want you to know this church is blessed beyond words for the leadership that God has placed over this church. Be seated. So many times I've received text messages from Brother Clark out of the blue right when I needed it and said, and I need to be early in the morning where I was, so I knew it was 3 hours earlier here. And he'd say, I'm at the church praying for you and your family. And right when I would need to hear that, and I'd show my wife or I'd tell her, Brother Clark called, said he's praying for you. And I can't tell you how much that has meant to us. And Brother Clark has given me advice that has been priceless. He's helped me see things the right way. And always easy to listen, always easy to hear what he has to say. I appreciate and love this man of God so very much. He is one in a million. The relationship with God and the love for God that he has, that he expresses. And some of you are going to think I'm really just building this up because he's here, because he just took up an offering. Really, I'm not even talking to you. You can think what you want, but the relationship with God that he lives and how he presents it, not flamboyant, not in your face, not, but it has truly changed my life completely. And I appreciate that so very much. My wife, I don't know. I just feel like I'm at home, praise God. My wife is here, and every time I see her, I'm looking at a miracle. Because according to the doctor, she wouldn't be here. But God is still on the throne, and God is still a healer. Lately, the theme has been that when she would go to the doctor, they are informing her over and over again that she will not live a long time. And again, I don't say that for anybody's sympathy. I'm just telling you what they've told us recently. And the last report that we got was recently was that if everything goes great, and the best and as good as it possibly can go, then you might live long enough to see your daughter grow up, but after that you're not going to be around much longer. Of course, Jalen's already 5 and we know time flies, and that's if everything goes great. That's what they're saying. But again, they said she wouldn't be here now, so I just believe that God has a purpose. I believe that God has a plan. I refuse to live my life in a fear of the unknown, in fear of what's going to happen or what could happen. I refuse to live in worry. But we're just going to trust God that he's going to do a work in her body. I'm not going to pout. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to sing the blues and say, feel sorry for me. Amen. Amen. But we're going to have church. that's just the way I feel about it. And I don't say this in any mock faith or trying to be super spiritual or anything like that, but this is really just the way I feel about it. God forbid, but if something were to happen to my wife and she were to go on to be with the Lord, and God knows I need her here, Sister Clark, God knows that. But if that were to be the case, I like to believe that God has done enough for me and God has shown me enough of himself that I would not charge him with folly and that I would serve him all the days of my life. Serving God cannot be a contingent thing where, Lord, if you do this for me, then I'll keep serving. If you do that, I'll keep serving you. But it's got to be a thing where, Lord, I'm serving you because I love you. I'm serving you because you're God. If I lose everything I have, that has been their report, that she won't live but long enough, if everything goes well, to see Jalen grow up. But again, God is on the throne, and we're not receiving that. We're just going to keep on serving God. And I believe that in the midst of doing the work of God, in the midst of preaching, in the midst of praying for others, in the midst of seeing others receive what they need and going home to my own need, I believe God's going to one of these days just say, now's the time. Now's the time. And that's what we're expecting. That's what we're believing God for. So I'm so glad she's here. And it makes me enjoy her singing all the more, knowing that I'm listening to a angel from heaven, praise God. Not the one that fell, but one of the ones that's, you know. Just teasing. You can be seated. I want her to testify tonight. Love my wife. Worship with her as she sings.
Praise the Lord, church. I am so, so thankful to be here at Brother and Sister Clark's church in Ontario, California. And most importantly, I'm thankful to be in church. And I told my friend in Texas before we came, I said, well, we're going to be going to Brother Clark's church. She said, is that church that came and surrounded your trailer and was praying real loud and you hit your knees and you got your healing that night? I said, yeah, that's the church. My mom said, where are you starting in California at? And I said, we're going to be at Brother Clark's church in California, Ontario. She said, is that man, well, her exact words, is that the white man that came and visited you in the hospital, flew across the country when you had your surgery? Twice. And I said, yes, that's the man, that's the church. So I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the report of the Lord. That's all that matters. God has the final say. This last time God gave me a miracle, I went into the hospital. I had all the signs of an infection, an elevated white blood cell count, chills and fever when I was hooking up to my IV, all kinds of infection signs. Have never had a false alarm. We went to the hospital, they tested me and couldn't find anything. I said, I don't care how I feel, I'm healed. I don't care what the doctors say, I don't care what my white blood cell count, I'm healed. And they came back and said, well, Ms. Hill, we're going to just have to let you go. We didn't find anything. I said, and I had to tell him, I said, you know, it's because God healed me. Right. And the doctor himself said, well, it was a coincidence. You know, timing and everything, it was a coincidence. And I looked at him. He didn't even believe what he said. And so I'm thankful. I know that my faith should have been there a long time ago, but it's like what Brother Clark preached this morning. Forget all that. I'm here now. And by the grace of God, I'm going on in faith. I'm healed. If I fall out right now and faint, I'm healed. No, I don't care how I feel. I'm healed. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. I'm healed. It doesn't matter what the tests come back and show. I'm healed. The pathway is broken, and the signs are unclear. And I don't know the reasons why you brought me here. But just because you love me the way that you do, I'm gonna walk through the valley if you want me to. See, I'm not who I was when I took my first step, but I'm clinging to the promise you're not through with me yet. So if all of these trials bring me closer to you, have chosen. that's not my home. But you never said it would be easy. You only said I wouldn't go alone. The whole world turns against me, and I'm all by myself, and I can't hear you answer my cry for help. I'll remember the suffering that your love put you through, and I'll walk through the that leads me home to you. And I'll walk through the valley if you want me to. Yes, I'll walk through this valley if you want me to.
And stand and give the Lord a hand clap of praise here today. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Give the Lord some praise. Clap your hands, all your people. Clap your hands, all your people. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you so very much for your sacrificial giving tonight. We're so, so grateful to you. Amen. My, my, my. I tell you what, words fail me. Praise God. Well, the book of St. John, chapter number 1. St. John. Where's Kendra at? St. John, chapter number 1. We'll begin reading with verse number 43. St. John, chapter number 1, verse number 43. Some of the best times of my life have been spent right here in this church, parked on this property, and with these wonderful, beautiful people of God. Amen. And we're just elated to be back. And I tell you what, in this revival, we want to see God do three things. We want to see God evangelize the sinner. We want to see God disciple and stabilize the saint. And we want to lift up the hands of the man of God and his family. Amen. I believe that is the purpose. I felt that before I even got here, that is the purpose of this revival. And amen. I want to see God do it. St. John chapter 1, verse number 43. Bible says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Where have we met? How do you know me? Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Verse number 50, Jesus smirked at him and answered and said unto him, I added that smirk for effect here today. He said, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Is that all it takes? Thou shalt see greater things than these. I want to preach briefly tonight on this thought. And this is not correct grammar, so just excuse me. But where I'm from, ain't is a word. So I want to preach on this thought. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your people that have gathered here in this house to hear the word of God. I pray that you would anoint your servant to speak to your people. Touch every person that is in divine presence. And God, we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor and the praise and the adoration. Everybody say in Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. Book of St. John chapter number 1 is a very familiar chapter to us. Apostolics, very familiar to us in the sense that we reference it quite a bit. If you've been in church any length of time, you have heard it preached from, you've heard it mentioned perhaps in a sermon. And there is a good reason for this. In fact, we even mentioned it this morning, if I'm not mistaken. Bible begins here, chapter 1 of St. John, about the Word being made flesh. We understand the Word being Jesus Christ and how that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. In this chapter, we see John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Christ. We find him baptizing in the wilderness. He was given the baptism or the ministry of repentance. And we have this same man, John the Baptist, that while he is baptizing his converts unto repentance, he is preaching to them and letting them know that somebody is coming after him. That he is not the main event. He is not the star of the show, if you will. But somebody else is coming after me. Amen. And we find out later on that while he is talking and while he is preaching, one day here comes Jesus walking down the dusty road, and John the Baptist lifts his eyes above the heads of the people, and he sees Jesus, and instantly there's a moment of recognition, and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He says, this is the one that I've been talking about. This is the one that I've been preaching to you about for all of this time. Here he is. This is the Son of God. And now when John does this, and his disciples realize that Jesus is the Christ, his disciples realize that Jesus is the Messiah. Verse number 37 of this chapter tells us that two disciples heard him speak and they followed him. They left off following John and now they're following Jesus. And that's okay. That was the purpose. That was the reason why he was preaching. Amen. And they begin to follow him. But we find something here that I think that every child of God needs to see. We need to recognize the importance of this. Amen. When one person realized that Jesus was the Messiah, when one person realized that Jesus was the Son of God, he immediately began to go and find others and say, we have found him that Moses in the law did talk about. They were not satisfied to just accept it and receive it themselves, but they went looking for their closest friends and said, you got to come and see the one that we've been looking for all this time. Can I tell you that when you come in contact with Jesus, when you receive Jesus, when Jesus has affected your life, it's hard to keep it to yourself. It's hard to sit on something this wonderful. It's hard to sit on something this beautiful. It's hard to keep this to yourself. But you want to tell everybody about it. How many people have I seen get in church and God gives them the Holy Ghost? And man, they are a witnessing machine. Everywhere they go, I'm telling you, they bring folks to church like you wouldn't believe. They want everybody to see. They want everybody to taste and experience what God has done in their life. And so here it is. Here it is. Philip, he's of the city of Andrew and Peter. And he says, you know what, I'm going to find one of my friends. Let me tell Nathaniel about this Jesus character that is the Messiah. And so he goes to him, says, hey, we found him. Really, who have you found? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, the one that the scripture has been prophesying about for so many years. And Nathaniel is a bit skeptical. He says, from where? Nazareth. He said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And there's different takes as to why he felt like this. Some say it's because he was studious and he knew that the Christ was to come from Bethlehem, and at the mention of Nazareth that threw him off. Others believe, I personally believe, another train of thought, line of thinking that says that Nazareth was such a slum, and Nazareth was such a bad area. It was such a place that surely nothing good, nothing righteous, nothing that's worth anything could come out of that place. And so when he heard mention of Nazareth and Christ coming from there, he couldn't put that together. He couldn't wrap his mind around that concept. But the thing I like about Philip is when Nathaniel expressed this skepticism, he didn't get upset. He didn't begin to rip and snort and foam at the mouth and preach to him. But he just was very calm. He said, you know what? Just come and see. Just come and see. Sometimes we got to tell folks, and I believe in witnessing, I believe in teaching Bible studies. We major on Bible studies in Atlanta. But sometimes you just got to tell folks, instead of arguing with them, just come and check it out for yourself. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you for 30 minutes on this and on that and on this and who was Cain's wife and all of that and what's the red heifer. We're not even going to argue about all that. Just come and see what's going on at Calvary Apostolic Tabernacle. And so Nathaniel said, okay, I'll come and check it out. That's not too much to ask. And as he is making his way to Jesus, Jesus sees him from afar. And he says, behold, look at here, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Evidently, Nathaniel had a reputation of being a man that had no guile. And Jesus sees him from afar and declares this. And he says, now how in the world does he know me? And he comes closer and says, have we met somewhere? My mom does that. It kills me. We can be in Timbuktu. And she'll say, I think I know her. And I'm saying, no, you don't. Don't embarrass us. You don't know this lady. But he says, have we met before? How do you know me? And Jesus looked at him. He said, before Philip called you, when you were sitting down there under that fig tree, you know the fig tree I'm talking about. He said, I saw thee. The wheels begin to turn in his mind. The fig tree. Now that's down the street to the left and then around that corner and then way back off in the... He got to thinking, I was under that fig tree. Now how in the world did he... And a revelation hit him in that short space of time. He said, now if he saw me under the fig tree, the only way that could have been possible is, you are the Messiah! Master, you are the Son of God! I mean, he's as excited as he can be. And in a moment, the very thing that Philip could not convince him of, in a moment with being with Jesus, he's convinced. In a moment of hearing Jesus say, I saw thee under the fig tree, he's convinced. And here he is, he's exclaiming, he's so excited, and Jesus looks at him, and again, I just added that for effect, but I just see Jesus looking at him and says, man, just because I said I saw you under the fig tree, is that all it takes for you to believe? And in everyday lingo, he said, man, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Praise the Lord. Well, everyone, that would conclude the first part of Brother Jason Hood's message, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. But what I do want to say is this. I know we took a little bit of time listening to Sister Carmen Hood, the testimony that she gave, the song that she sang, and boy, that brings back memories, but I hope that everyone felt the anointing, the love, and the great memories that they brought back talking about our church, talking about our pastor. It's a blessing to have this kind of a message, bring back all these memories, but more importantly, we hope that you felt the anointing, you felt the faith, the message that Brother Hood began to bring out today, and we look forward to hearing the second part next Saturday. Praise the Lord. And with that said, we look forward to having our youth devotion tonight at 7:15 p.m. We will be sending out a reminder right before then. And so we want everyone to have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.